Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, a report has come out called How South Africa's Just Energy Transition is Being Threatened by Corporate Interest. That's already a very scary title. The report is just saying that corporate companies are perhaps delaying or trying to change how our climate policy should work. Let's speak to someone who's quite closely associated with that report, if not an author of, Tracy Davies. Tracy, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just take us through a headline of what the report says.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me. Yes, sure. So at Just Share, which is the organization that I run, a shareholder activism organization focused on climate change and inequality, we had seen over the past several years that there really appeared to be quite a lot of corporate influence in government policy making on climate change. And so we decided to do a really in-depth look at this, at how it was happening and what the impacts are. And what the report really sets out is a 20-year timeline of government policy making on climate change, predominantly through the Carbon Tax Act and the Climate Change Act, excuse me. And we demonstrate how at every stage of that policymaking process, and I really want to emphasize that when government started out on this journey of climate regulation, it was very progressive and very forward thinking, really understood all the risks and understood what South Africa needed to do to address them. But over the course of the last two decades, it has really been, I suppose, kind of hammered by business, predominantly through business associations like Business Unity South Africa and the Minerals Council, and also directly by SASL, which is our biggest private greenhouse gas emitter. And it's quite clear from the report when you read it and you look at the timeline that business deployed a relentless set of arguments against climate regulation over and over and over and over again over the past 20 years. And that government really has capitulated to those arguments, which are not founded in fact in many instances. And as a result, we have a very, very weak climate regulatory regime and a carbon tax, which is having no impact on corporate emissions. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't made any progress on addressing climate risk. And that now poses a huge risk to the economy as a whole.
Mm. Tracy, I want to understand, if a corporate company, like some of the ones you have mentioned, lobbies government, they are also a stakeholder in South Africa, and they are also entitled to do so. And what my understanding is, then policies decided after viewing a number of submissions. At what point do you get uncomfortable with that kind of lobbying and say, this is going beyond what is normal? And I think I'm not talking about specifically in this example, but in this example as well, and say this is beyond normal, and now we are worried that there's a capture, or now we are worried that there's too much influence.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And as you say, every citizen and every institution in South Africa is entitled to engage in legislative processes. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have what are called public participation processes for policymaking. So, mm-hmm. you know, government releases a draft bill or some form of regulation, puts it out there for public comment. And then, as you say, should kind of go back, review all of those comments, and then come back with an amended bill. Mm. And that is part of what we document in our report. Very, very intense engagement with government around those processes as part of the formal public participation process by business. But where it becomes problematic is in two areas. The first area is that in many instances, the submissions that businesses and business associations make to government on draft legislation are not made publicly available. Mm-hmm. So other stakeholders cannot see what arguments are being made when these bodies engage with government. But the second, much more concerning issue is essentially private access to government officials. And this is the other thing that our report documents. So we submitted a series of requests to government departments under the Promotion of Access to Information Act to try to get information about private meetings between companies and business associations with senior government officials who are making these crucial decisions, which, remember, are in the public interest, right? They should be made in the public interest, not in the interest of a particular industry or a particular business. And what we found as a result of those PIE requests, which were extremely difficult to progress, we had to request over and over again, we had to remind these government departments of their legal obligations under PIE, and even then they didn't fully comply. But what we did get back was documents that show that meetings, private meetings, take place between senior business executives and senior government officials all the time. And they take place behind closed doors. There are no rules or regulations in South Africa about recording those meetings, being transparent about the fact that they're happening. No minutes are taken. There don't seem to even be agendas for many of them. So there's no way to track how extensive the influence is. And, you know, this is recognized in legal systems all around the world. This potential for capture is dealt with via legislation. Government ministers in many jurisdictions have to, you know, share diaries publicly to show who they're meeting with and what the subjects of those meetings are. And we don't have that in South Africa. And of course, you and I can't just phone up, you know, a minister and say, hi, I want to chat to you about a piece of legislation you're putting out there. So there's a huge imbalance of power because of the resources and the access, particularly that the mining industry and the fossil fuel industry has in relation to government because of our history. They have close access to government officials. They have the ability to call them up and say, let's meet, let's chat, let's have a coffee. And the problem is that these fundamentally important public processes are then being determined by interests that the rest of us have no idea, you know, what is happening, who's saying what, and what the results of those discussions are.
Okay. Tracy, when we look at part of your report, you speak about the economic case for decarbonization and risk to South Africa if it does not decarbonize. Often when we're thinking about issues that affect us, especially on a show that focuses on money and markets, people don't see the correlation between, you know, climate, which is removed from your day-to-day reality if you're not thinking about it. Sure, it's part of us and it affects us deeply, but it's not something that's in your face. So why should we care about decarbonization? Why should we care about what's going to happen in South Africa if we don't decarbonize or move away from certain energy sources?
So there are several reasons why focusing on decarbonization is crucial for South Africa's economy. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, and probably the reason that most people will most resonate with, is if we had made more progress on decarbonization, and if there hadn't been state capture 10 years ago, which essentially put a stop to the renewable energy development program, if that hadn't happened and that program had gone ahead as planned, we would not have had load shedding over the last couple of years. Mm. So there is a very strong vested interest in this country, in government and in the corporate sector, parts of the corporate sector, to maintain our reliance on fossil fuels, because it is currently something that makes that set of people very wealthy. It is a huge source of funds for them. But that has had a catastrophic impact on our economy as a whole, as you will know. Mm-hmm. So that's the first reason. Energy security, energy affordability, energy access. Remember, there are millions and millions of people in this country who still don't have access to affordable energy. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that climate impacts are already having a severe effect on our economy, whether you're aware of it or not. You only have to read the financial results of any insurance company in South Africa to see that the impacts of severe weather events, extreme droughts, extreme heat, floods, are having a huge effect on South Africa's, on these companies' ability to cover people for these catastrophic events and on the affordability of insurance. But more broadly than that, there is a global move to decarbonization and to moving away from fossil fuel sources. And there are impacts that we are going to have on our industries, on our economy, that are imminent and severe. So the European Union, for example, will soon introduce what's called a carbon border adjustment mechanism, which will essentially tax imports based on how carbon intensive their economies are. Now, we have one of the most carbon intensive economies on Earth. So vast swathes of our economy face serious implications from that EU carbon border adjustment mechanism. Another one is our automotive industry. Now, the automotive industry in South Africa employs more people than the coal mining sector. You wouldn't know that to read everything that you read usually in the media, because mm-hmm. it is dominated by these fossil fuel interests. But the companies that make cars in South Africa are employ more people than the coal mining industry. And those cars that we make are all, none of them are electric vehicles. They're all internal combustion engine vehicles. But we export those vehicles to countries which are phasing out internal combustion engine vehicles. But unless we switch and start manufacturing electric vehicles, that is an entire industry that is going to be wiped out. And you will hear constant focus on how we have to protect the jobs of coal miners and we have to protect mm-hmm. the jobs of people working at Eskom. But what about all the people working in the automotive sector? What about all the people working in the agriculture sector whose jobs and livelihoods are threatened by climate change? What about all the people working in the tourism sector? You know, the tourism sector is a huge part of our GDP, and yet climate change is having a significant impact on, and that will continue to grow. So mm-hmm. we've been trained to think about decarbonization in a very myopic way. We've been trained to think that we can't decarbonize quickly because of Eskom and Sasol and the coal miners. And that's been a very deliberate strategy on the part of those industries to force us, to make us think that they are the only important ones. Okay. But we have a whole economy out there and opportunities, enormous opportunities that we are foregoing by focusing myopically on one industry in the economy.
Tracy Davies from Just Share. I'm not cutting you off because I'm blocking you or lobbying. We are going to be speaking shortly about estate planning. Really appreciate your time. That report can be found online. You just Google Just Share and you can look up the report that we've just been speaking about and the implications. And of course, I think that's quite an important story. So we'd like to continue speaking to other role players, people who may have been mentioned in the report, so we get all sides of the story. But really appreciate your time on Kaya Biz this evening, Tracy.
Thank you so much.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.